I would like for you to take your Bible and turn with me one last time to the book of Colossians. It's hard to believe that we have been in this book of Colossians now for 6 months, and this is the last chapter, the fourth chapter, the 12th and the 13th verse. This is a day of lasts. The last sermon from the book of Colossians in this 6 month sermon series that started in January, and the last official Sunday for Mike Emiot is our executive pastor. He's not going anywhere, but it's with gratitude and with a lump in our throat that we say thank you to Mike and to Kathy for your service to our church. And it's a beginning, too. It's not only a day of lasts, but it's a day for new chapters. And we look forward to what God is going to lay before us in the days to come. Well, in this last chapter, we find what many people consider to be just a throwaway passage of verses whenever they're doing their devotional reading, and they come to a lot of Paul's letters at the end, and they see all these names mentioned. And it seems to them just as dry as dust, and they wonder why the Holy Spirit even bothered to list these personal relationships that Paul had. I mean, what is in it for us to read these names? Well, I need to remind you that every word of the Bible is divinely inspired by God. And so God does not waste any words in the scripture. And when we come to this 12th and 13th verse of Colossians chapter 4, we see that there is inspiration there for each one of us to be a faithful minister. And the man that is being spoken of here in verses 12 through 14 is a guy by the name of Epaphras. And when I began this sermon series way back in January, my first sermon was about Epaphras out of chapter 1 and verse 7. And you might remember that I told you then that he was the lay leader who founded the church at Colossae. And Paul began this book by just commending him for his wonderful attributes. There in Colossians 1 and verse 7, it says, "He is our dear fellow servant." Goes on to say that he is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf. That expression, faithful minister, gave inspiration for the title that I've chosen for today's message, A Faithful Minister. And here is a list of names that Epaphras is just one of that were important people in the life of Paul and in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think as you investigate these character qualities of Epaphras in verses 12 through 13, they will remind you of someone you know very well. I think many of us would be tempted to insert the name of Mike Emiot when we read some of these character qualities that I've just listed as bulleted items there in your worship guide. And we're so grateful for Mike. And even though there's no mention of Epaphras' wife, we don't even know if he's married. But I believe if he was married, he would have been married to someone like Kathy Emiot. And you know, behind every great man is a great woman. And Kathy, we're so grateful to God for you in the quiet way in which you support Mike and in the way that you've touched so many lives and will continue to touch so many lives here at First Baptist Noonan. Well, let's go and begin right here at the outset of verse 1 or verse 12, where it begins by saying Epaphras. Remember, he's the founder of the church at Colossae. He's the one that Paul mentioned in chapter 1, verse 7. Epaphras, who is one of you. This is a letter to the church at Colossae that Epaphras founded, and Paul is just reminding them, giving some context to who this fella is. He is not someone that was imported in to start this church and to do this ministry. He was one of you. He was one of the laymen, one of the faithful laymen of First Baptist Colossae. And in the same way, Mike Emiot was not imported into Noonan to become our executive pastor. You got me that way. You imported me from the state of Florida. And from all our other staff, you got them from other fields throughout the Southeast. But like Mike Emiot, Epaphras was one of them. Long before Mike Emiot was on our staff, he was one of you, a layman at First Baptist Church. He and his family joined on August the 10th, 1986, 30 years ago, just a few days from now. It'll be 31 years ago. You know, I thank Lee and Beth Barnett for opening up their home Saturday night before last to have a staff retirement party for Mike and Kathy. And after we'd eaten a delicious meal, we gathered together in the Barnett's living room, and we all had the opportunity to share special memories of Mike and Kathy, and it was so touching to hear Beth Barnett share one of her first memories of the Emiots 30 years ago, when they were all attending a wedding here in the main sanctuary of First Baptist. And Beth did not know the Emiots. She knew they were new members, but she happened to be in the hallway in front of our office over here. And she noticed Mike with his girls, and he was trying to get them all straightened up with the bows on their hair and everything looking nice for the wedding. And Beth, being from a family of girls, said, "There's something special about that caring father, and I look forward to getting to know him better." Well, from those first memories, almost 31 years ago now, we are coming to this day where one of us, one of you, is being honored for his faithfulness and service. And you know, this message is not about Epaphras. It's really not about Mike Emiot and the similarities he has with Epaphras. It's about all of you. Because with Mike's leaving his role as executive pastor, there are some big shoes to fill. And I just wonder, I've just been praying, what does God have in store for one of you? I'm sure Mike would have never dreamed 30 years ago that God would have taken him all the places that he has taken him in and through the life of this church that he has. And God has special plans for each one that is in this building. What will God do with one of you? He has a special plan, just like he did for Epaphras, just like he did for Mike Emiot. Now, just unpacking this 12th verse, the next phrase there is that Epaphras was a bond servant of Christ. And in the same way, before Mike ever became a vocational minister, he was a servant of the Lord here at First Baptist Church. He was a volunteer in many capacities. Many of you might remember the day that Mike was our first children's minister. And he, along with Janie Cantrell, started Camp Sunshine. Did you know that? And we're grateful to God for that wonderful ministry that continues today. Mike, as a layman, was a worker and a leader in the Royal Ambassadors. And as a layman, not a vocational minister, he was involved in missions here in Noonan, domestically and internationally. And it leads us to ask the question, who is going to fill those shoes? Who among us? I'm not talking about paid vocational ministers. Mike did all these things as a layman. God is putting his hands on one of you or a lot of you to fill those roles that Mike filled as a volunteer. At our staff retirement party for Mike last Saturday, and then in our deacons meeting that followed the next Sunday morning, I can't count how many people said then and even over these last 10 years that Mike never asks you to do anything that he's not willing to do himself. What a commendable attribute of this bond servant of Christ. He is very much like Jesus, who said of himself in Mark 10:45, I did not come to this world to be served, but I came to serve. And speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ's ministry, the Apostle Paul in Philippians 2, verse 7, said that he took on the form of a bond servant and humbled himself. You know, Jesus has been Mike's and Epaphras' role model, inspiration, and example. And that example of bond service should inspire each one of us to minister in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in a way that brings honor and glory to his name. Look at this next statement about Epaphras there in verse 12. He greets you. When I read that, I just thought about Mike Emiot and the way that he greets people. He is well known for his warm greeting to all people. His boisterous laugh and his broad smile are contagious. His welcoming spirit is extended to all people. And you can see this firsthand if you're ever down here at the church during the week. To our front door comes all kinds of people, all categories of life. There are people that are down and out, people that have no hope, people that are down in the gutter, people that are on the bottom rung of the social ladder, people who are lost, people that have deep and serious emotional problems, physical problems, spiritual problems, people without Christ. And you ought to see the way Mike receives them and greets them and welcomes them. He welcomes them like he would welcome the most important person in Coweta County. From the most involved church leader here at First Baptist down to the person who has been forgotten by society, Mike is the same in his sincere greeting and welcome to all of them. And like I said, this is a sermon for all of us. This just isn't talking about Epaphras and Mike Emiot. This is talking about us here at First Baptist. We need to be known as a welcoming church. We need to be known as a church that throws open its arms and greets everybody, no matter who they are, warmly and sincerely in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm sure this service is no different from our early service. I met three family units and saw a fourth family unit after the service that were guests to our church in that 8:30 service. I'm sure we have guests here in this service today. And we've had our greeting time, but so many times it's a temptation to go to familiar faces, people that you know. But before this service is over, you can make that right. If there's somebody around you that is unfamiliar to you, why don't you be like Epaphras? Why don't you be like Mike Emiot and approach them and greet them warmly in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? God calls all of us to have that kind of ministry. Now the next phrase, just unpacking verse 12 about Epaphras. He's always laboring, or you might be reading from a translation that says wrestling, fervently for you in prayers. I have personally heard Mike Emiot pray many times, always interceding on behalf of others. In the 10 years I've known him, I've never heard him audibilize a prayer for himself. It's always been for you and for people outside the walls of this church. And some of us who have been wrestling with tough issues and situations and circumstances in our life, Mike has been faithfully right alongside of you, wrestling with you in prayer as God has moved through the power of prayer. And again, this is a message not just about Epaphras and applying to Mike Emiot. Boy, it's about all of us. Boy, I tell you, First Baptist Church so desperately needs prayer warriors. We need people who will say, you know, we can do more than pray after we pray, but we can't do more than pray until we pray. So many times the way we approach ministry, and I say we, I'm talking about Christians in general, is through the world's way. And we leave God totally out of it. We don't seek him. We don't inquire of him. And now's the time for us to get on our knees, be like Epaphras, and labor in our prayers. There's a young pastor that's coming to First Baptist Fairburn. His name is Evan. We've been communicating with him. Mainly Amy's been communicating with him, and he's been telling us that his family lives in Augusta, Georgia, and he's been coming back and forth from First Baptist Fairburn, and he's been communicating with us that his wife is so near delivering, and yesterday she felt those labor pains, and an emergency C-section was performed on her. He sent us a beautiful photo of this brand new baby that his precious wife labored for. When's the last time you felt the birth pangs and the laboring and the wrestling and the grappling of prayer on behalf of others? Prayer is so important. Continuing still there in verse 12 before we leave it, it says that you might, he did all this praying, that you might stand perfect, or your Bible might say firm and complete, or your Bible might say mature in the will of God. Many of us in this building would have never completed our assignments and our tasks and matured in our faith without Mike Emiot's encouragement. The staff can tell you that around the month of May every year, Mike brings in armfuls of RA vests, and he has all kinds of patches that he personally sews onto those RA vests, showing the maturing process, the completion of a certain stage of growth in that RA's life. And on that music and missions night, those RAs stand up here with those vests on, with the patches, every one of them throughout the years has been sewn on by Mike Emiot. And those kids, those young guys, wouldn't have been able to do it without Mike Emiot's encouragement, first as a layman, then as a staff member. They Stand firm. Many of us would have never been involved in the will of God for our lives if it hadn't have been for Mike Emiot. You know, Brenda Clifton, our last children's minister, is well known for her heart for missions. But Mike took that plane trip with her to Romania years ago for the very first time. And Mike can tell you how nervous Brenda was going to this distant country to be a missionary for the very first time, an international missionary. And now Brenda is going all over the world because Mike encouraged her to follow the will of God in her life. Lee Chitwood shared with us that his very first, this is hard to believe, but his very first international mission trip that he ever took was with Mike Emiot. And he's been on many, scores of them since. Lee would have never had that opportunity if Mike had not been an encouragement in that way. This July, our own Minister of Education and Minister of Young Adults, Eric Marston, is going to be going on an international trip with Mike Emiot and I guess 29, 28 other people, 30 people altogether, going to Uganda. There are many of you that have found out what God's will is for your life because of this man who is so much like Epaphras. Well, let's go on into verse 13, because Paul gets a little bit personal here in verse 13. He brings himself into the subject when he says, "I bear him witness." Maybe your Bible says, "I vouch for him," or "I testify for him," that he has a great zeal, or your Bible might say, "working hard for you." I, like Paul, can personally testify that this is also true of Mike Emiot. His work is driven by two things, by his love for God and his love for you, First Baptist Church. He has a passion for First Baptist Church. He wants what is best for First Baptist. And again, this message is not about Mike Emiot. It's really not even about Epaphras. It's about you. I want to ask you a searching question. Do you have that same kind of zeal for the work of the Lord here at First Baptist Church? I pray that God will raise up more Epaphrases that will have a zeal working hard for what God wants to do through the life and ministry of First Baptist Church. Finally, that last phrase in verse 13 reminds me of Mike Emiot, because Epaphras not only had a zeal for those folks that were in Colossae, but it adds this phrase, "and those who are in Laodicea and Hierapolis." Epaphras was not just concerned about his hometown of Colossae, but he was concerned for others in different locales. Mike Emiot's heart is for First Baptist and is for Noonan. That is for certain. But added to that, it is also for people in other places who need the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mike's 30 years here at First Baptist Church, he has taken the love of Jesus to people in what will become this July 50 mission trips. This July, he'll take his 39th international mission trip to Uganda. And he's been to places for our church like Romania, Japan, China, Peru, Canada, to the continent of Europe, Mexico, Honduras, and Uganda. And then he's taken these 11 domestic mission trips to the Florida Keys, to Pearlington, Mississippi for disaster relief after Hurricane Katrina, to New Orleans, Louisiana, to Washington, D.C., to New York City, and to West Virginia. He has not only been concerned about Noonan, his Colossae, but he's been concerned about the Laodiceas out there and the Hierapolises out there and how those people need to know the Lord Jesus Christ, who was, by the way, the very first missionary. Jesus didn't have to, but he left the splendors of heaven. He left the glory of his eternal existence there in heaven, and he came to this sin-darkened planet to show us, to show every one of you, his love. And now we have the opportunity to say yes to him. You have the opportunity, if you've never trusted Jesus before, to say, yes, Jesus, I trust you as my Savior. Maybe you've already trusted him as your Savior, but God has put it on your heart that you want to be a part of a church like this. We'll welcome you. We'll greet you, just like Epaphras was known for his sincere and warm greetings. We're not perfect because the pastor's not perfect, but we will do our best to wrap our arms around you and say, we're going to pray for you, help you stand firm and mature in the things of God and find the will of God in your life. Maybe God's speaking to your heart about other things. You just need the encouragement of prayer to come to this altar, whatever it is. We want to give you this opportunity right now to say yes to Jesus as the altars will be open. As we will sing a song in a few moments, as I will be standing down at the front, you can come from wherever you're standing and make your decision public for Christ as we bow together. Oh, dear Father, how we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you now for this opportunity to say yes to you, for however you might be speaking to our hearts. And Lord, today we pray for that soul that is nearest hell, the one who has never trusted you as Savior. We pray that today might be their day of salvation. Father, we pray for that soul that has been searching for your will about a church home. We pray that you might move in their life, that you might give them confidence about what your plan is for them. And Father, for those that just need the encouragement of prayer, we pray that they know this altar is always open. And we ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.